Hey, this is Beetlejuice. You're listening to the Mickey Mile Podcast with Mike and Michelle. I don't know who they are, and I guess it's supposed to be entertaining, but I'm going to go. I got better things to do. See ya!
The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 322 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa from the WDW Today podcast, and with me on the show is Michelle Scribner-McLean. Hello, Michelle.
Hello, Michael. How are you?
I am doing well. I'm still alive after five straight weeks of half marathon distances for the weekend.
Yeah, y'all ready for wine and dine?
I'm ready for wine and dine, but is wine and dine ready for me?
It's going to be fun. I can't wait. I've already started packing. I packed my flip-flops. That was the first thing I packed.
And I'm looking forward to maybe seeing our guest at Wine and
Dine. I think we'll probably hear from him if we don't see him.
Yes, we will.
Let me give some shout-outs first before we introduce our wonderful guest. Today was such a fun day to be on Facebook because so many of our friends were at the Marine Corps Marathon. And I know I'm going to miss somebody, but a whole bunch of our friends ran, and some of them who did their first marathon, which is amazing, is Bernie Edwards, who we know is training, our favorite friend from NASA, Marcy Holland, and Tim Tostin all did their first marathon today. So, and that's not an easy one. And Holly Allen, our friend who's doing a marathon in every state, completed state number 30 today with the Cape Cod Marathon. And Donna Quackenbush also ran, and it's her birthday. She ran a marathon on her birthday.
Awesome.
So, yeah, so shout-outs for all those people. Great job.
It's amazing. Every week there's a first. Someone is their first half, their first 5K, their first marathon. It's nice to see everyone getting fit.
And this is our first time interviewing this guest.
Well, now, you know,
he's been on our to-do list for a long time.
Yeah, he's been on my to-do list for I mean, I've heard him for years, and I've been a fan of his and fan of his wife, who also works for Disney. You know, everyone, we've had the Run Disney personalities on. We've had Rudy on. We've had Carissa on. But now we have the real brains behind the outfit. And we're very pleased to bring onto the show Run Disney and Disney sports announcer, and he also has a CBS sports radio show called After Further Review in Orlando. It's the one, the only John Pelkey. John, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, but I would have to say that both Rudy and I will admit that Carissa is the brain.
Rudy calls you the funniest man in race announcing. I think he usually says that.
I got to agree, I heard John and Rudy with their
banter.
Their banter. I think it was the Jingle Jangle.
Jingle Jangle.
I always get that wrong. They had to pick me up off the ground. I was laughing so much. I just love those two. The chemistry is there, and that's just
between all
amazing.
Three of them, really.
But you know, John, let's start off. Tell our audience your background and how you got started and what you've been doing lately for Disney.
Well, I grew up right outside of Washington, D.C. And I moved away, lived there until I was 21, and moved away to continue my education at the University of Florida. My dad had retired. He worked for the government almost 30 years. He actually worked at the White House. And when dad retired and my parents moved to Florida, I just felt like, you know what, I'm 21. I'm kind of just bouncing around here in college. I'd like to see something new. And I ended up in Gainesville, Florida, because I knew one person who went to the University of Florida. So that was it. Had I known someone in Tallahassee, I might have had to flip a coin. But I only knew my friend Sandy, who's now a veterinarian at the University of Florida. So in 1985, when I was 21, I moved to Gainesville to continue my education. And I had been involved in theater a bit when I lived in D.C., I got involved with it again when I was in Gainesville, and actually ended up in Orlando in 1990 I dropped out. Sorry, kids, don't do it. And I opened Universal Studios when they opened in 1990. I've been auditioning down here for a year or so for Disney and Universal as they were ramping up for their opening. And I ended up there, I guess it was March or early April of 1990. And I worked there for 9 years straight doing any number of different roles. And then in 1999, I started working at the ESPN Club at Disney's Boardwalk as a sports host, interviewing athletes. And we used to also go to NFL training camp and Major League Baseball spring training. And we filed a video report, video features exclusive to the club for our guests. And that really was what got me started into sports. I've always been a sports fan. I was not a great athlete, but a jock in high school. And I've always loved sports. And I guess, lucked into, with a good audition, the job at the ESPN Club. And I parlayed that into doing work for Disney Sports, both at the ESPN Wide World of Sports, other places on property, and then hooked up with Run Disney. Carissa is actually better at this than me. I think it's been 12 years now that I've been doing. I know the marathons for 12 years.
Wow.
But that's it. I'm kind of in the performing arts. I was a jack of all trades, and then it sort of moved to a sports track. And I've now somehow parlayed that into all of the great work that I get at Disney and also the radio show.
That's awesome. So, John, what did you do? I know we're going to move to Run Disney in a few minutes, but I'm curious. I know you've told us this in person, but our listeners would like to hear. What did you do at Universal?
Yes.
Because you did some really interesting things there.
I started out as the gorilla at the horror makeup show. And we had at that time, there was a gorilla suit that was the same type of suits used in the terrific movie Gorillas in the Mist. It was a state-of-the-art suit, and it was my job to put it on and run out on stage and scare people. I also hosted the show and played the role of the makeup artist. I did the Earthquake show. I did Beetlejuice for a long time.
Wow. I remember you saying that.
In any number of different places. I did the show, the Graveyard Review show, another show that we were doing back then on the steps of the New York Public Library there. And then I also got to travel doing Beetlejuice around the country, doing radio interviews and television stuff. So, yeah, that afforded me a lot of opportunities. And I was a Ghostbuster. I was a Lewis Tully at Ghostbusters. So just all kinds of different stuff. It was a really great time. The early 90s was a great time for performers in Orlando, because both Universal and MGM, the artist formerly known as MGM Studios, had just opened. And there was just really a lot of opportunity. So, your timing's generally not your own, but mine was pretty good when it came to getting back into performing.
So I was at Universal Studios in July of 1990, and I remember videotaping that the Monster Makeup show and the Beetlejuice show and a whole bunch of... And I remember the Ghostbusters walking by. And so yep. Now I'm going to have to go through those tapes and see if I can spot you, John.
If it was July of 90, the chance would have been either as the gorilla or strolling around the park as Beetlejuice. So good luck in your hunt.
I have a video
of me doing the gorilla, by the way. So if you do come across it, please, I would love to see it.
The question would be, is it you in the gorilla suit? So
that's it. That's it. But they pull the head up. So you would see the face.
Okay.
I am devastatingly attractive, so it's me.
I do remember Beetlejuice talking to me and everything.
A face made for radio.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so moving into the Disney sports arena, when did you first start, or when were you approached to be a race announcer for the Run Disney events?
I think the first marathon again, 12, I think it was 2003. And the way it came about is I'd been doing some things at, it was then Disney's Wide World of Sports, now the ESPN Wide World of Sports, opening ceremonies for AAU events. They have a lot of high school and collegiate events out there, and they have award ceremonies. So I was emceeing those things and just some basic announcing for like softball events and soccer, a lot of the things they have out there. And I knew the director at that time, the entertainment director for the marathon was a guy that I'd done some work for at the Civic Theater here in Orlando when I was an actor all those years ago. And he was also a director at Disney. And he approached me and said, hey, you know, we're looking for people to kind of host on the stage. Would you be interested in doing it? And I took the gig, and here we are 12 years later. So it just sort of came about as a good financial opportunity for me, and also seemed like it would be a lot of fun. That was before I knew that I would sleep 3 hours in a 5-day period. But it really happened because this director, Alan, knew me and had done a couple of things out there at the sports complex. And they were just looking to expand what they did entertainment-wise for the folks who were running the races.
So how do you prepare to announce a race? I mean, it seems to me, I've heard you guys a fair amount, and it doesn't seem like you repeat yourselves. I know that Carissa has told us there's a script, but I think that might be something that's more recent. But
there is a bit of scripting, but as our directors have always said, it's more of an outline than it is, and it really covers. It's more of a timeline. Mm-hmm. As you know, we have guests that we bring up, and then we try to slot some interviews with the runners in. So it's more of a timeline, and I work pretty organically with Carissa, who I'd worked with prior to coming over for the marathons as well at Wide World of Sports. And we just had a pretty good repertoire from rapport, I should say, from the beginning. So we do have rehearsals, and a lot of it is for the technical aspects. As you know, we're on camera while we're on stage, and then there are handheld cameras as well. But as far as the content of what we do, it's pretty organic. We're pretty witty people, I guess.
You definitely can see the humor in a lot of things because it's very funny.
I'm not a veteran runner, and I know that a lot of the people, you were mentioning people running their first races, a lot of the people who run the marathon, the half marathons, whichever, at Walt Disney World are running their first race. And I also know that the logistics of just getting there to get yourself in the corral prior to even running the race, it takes a lot of commitment. And I'm just trying to keep people entertained.
Yeah, it really is a long time in the corral. So as somebody who spent many hours waiting for
especially
races.
When it's 29 degrees and snowing like it was one day.
Yes, it was. Yeah. I was at that race. But now there's so many corrals, too, that, you know, you're moving people up. People may be there for an hour and 15 minutes, an hour and a half listening to you. So, you know, kudos to you for being able to entertain people for that long.
I always apologize ahead of time. I'm sorry that the next 90 minutes will be taken up with me, but I promise you, we will get you off to race. Yeah, it's just, you know, and again, I can't say enough about the folks that I've come in contact with over this dozen or so years and their commitment, you know, veterans and then first-timers, because any one of these big, large marathons, you talk about Marine Corps, New York, Boston, and the logistics of getting there to run, you've already had a full day before you start.
Right.
So I figure it's the least I can do. They got up probably as early as I did, so, and they're going to work a lot harder than me, because when I often joke about, when you leave this starting line, I'm going to jump in a golf cart and eat donuts and drink coffee until I get to the finish line, and I'll see you over there. They're working harder than I am, so it's the least I can do to try to be entertaining in some way.
So I know that Rudy has told us that he needs to have, you know, halls, lozenges, and he needs to get ready in different ways for the races. And you really are not kidding when you say you have a – we do the dopey, and you're getting up 4 mornings in a row at 2 o'clock in the morning, and you guys are pretty much doing the same thing. So how do you prepare for that? Do you just – sleep like a week before?
Yeah, it's funny preparing for that, because I'll try to start going to bed a little bit earlier, a couple of days prior, just to get, you know, because I can be a night owl, and of course I do now sports talk radio, and I stay up late to watch games. Well, I try to at least go to bed earlier for a couple of days prior, and then it's just really maximizing your rest time during. And we all come to the table for race day with cough drops, tea, coffee, anything you can just to keep your voice in shape. I'm really lucky that way, that my voice, while sounding somewhat like hitting a tin roof with a hammer is also, it's pretty strong and holds together fairly well. So with the three of us, we can, I think, split up the work enough that we hold together. But it is really hard to prepare. And by Sunday afternoon, if you take like the regular marathon weekend, by the Sunday afternoon when I get home, it's just, you know, you really feel like as an announcer, you've run a marathon.
Oh, that's great. So I know as a performer, you are comfortable wearing costumes and things like that. But I know lately Run Disney has put you in a variety of different costumes. So I'm wondering which one has been your favorite so far?
I'd like to air a little grievance here. and it's really directed to our director, John, who is generally in charge of that. I always feel like I get a little shortchanged on the costuming.
Oh, really?
Rudy and Carissa are always, you know, they're always like the princess and the prince, and then I'm the frog or the footman. But I will say that probably my favorites, gosh, that's hard to say. I think when we do the 5K, the Jingle 5K, those always tend to be the most fun because they generally bring Rudy and I a lot of stuff to pick through. And we just try to come up with the silliest looking costumes that we can because it's 5 o'clock in the morning and why not? And so I think those costumes for the Jingle Jangle 5K always tend to be my favorites.
I didn't realize that you had any say in the costume picking. That's cool.
Yeah, they usually bring, for that event particularly, they bring a number of different hats and scarves and kind of let us mix and match. Sometimes, you know, you're presented with something that you have to wear. They just have this specific costume. But they usually give us a few choices to see how we're going to look.
John, I remember seeing you and Carissa at the last Everest. And you guys look like you were having a lot of fun for that one, too.
That's always been – I don't really have a favorite because they all have great moments and then they all have mm-hmm. challenges as well. But for some reason, and I think it's probably because of the time of the evening and it's not a race where, you know, where we've been sleep deprived for several days. So I feel like I'm a little bit wittier and the crowd for that always seems to be so very upbeat.
Yeah.
That we really, really do. You know, again, we've been at this a long time, and there comes a time in every single race where Carissa and I, and then Rudy as well, we become punchy and just giggling at everything. And for whatever reason, for Carissa and I, Everest really seems to be the race, or seemed to be the race where we laughed as much as anyone else, if not more.
So with Wine and Dine coming up and the January Walt Disney World Marathon weekend coming up, do you know your schedule already?
I don't really know. I don't really know too much specific as far as, you know, obviously I know the race times and I have a pretty good understanding of how early we generally get there prior to the start of the race. But the expo times and everything, that's a little bit up in the air. And then I balance it around some other work that I do out at the Wide World of Sports at the same time. So they're pretty nice about scheduling me so I can pick up some other work at the same time. Because as you know, as an independent contractor, you have to take work when it's offered to you. And they've done a really, really nice job allowing me to do several different things at a time. So I will probably know my exact schedule 5 or 6 days before.
So one of our listeners, Jennifer Hall, is a big fan, and she had two questions. I'm going to ask you the second one because it has to do with Run Disney. Do you have a memorable Run Disney experience? Your most memorable?
Oh, most memorable. Well, I did mention 29 degrees and snowing, didn't I?
Yeah, and, I was
and,
there.
and being around a lot of people who were brought up in Florida and had never seen snow before. Gosh, there are so many. There have been so many moving experiences. I think the gentleman's name will escape me, but you will know. I know his name is Dick, and he runs with his son and pushes his son.
From Boston. We're from Boston.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I'd actually seen a story on him on Real Sports on HBO. And when he came out to run our race and to see how inspiring he was for everybody else, and to meet him and to find out the story that he pushed his severely challenged son in these races, and it was just such a bonding experience for them, and how it had changed both of their lives for the better. I think that was really, really one of the most memorable moments ever for me. But we've had, you know, and you've been there. We've people asking for a hand in marriage, proposals. We've brought soldiers home, and their wives didn't know they were home. So that there really is a lot of stuff.
Right. It's Dick and Rick Hoyt is the name.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. It was amazing to meet them, and just to see how many people were inspired by them, and how many people like myself remembered the story of them. That was really moving.
Yeah, they're celebrities in Boston. They've done. I think they're retired now, but they've done a lot of Boston marathons together.
Great story.
Yeah. So, have you ever had a moment when you had technical difficulties or you goofed up that you'd care to share?
Yeah, I started the marathon early a couple years ago.
That's a big one.
I was. We have a couple of people communicating with us on stage. I have an IFB in my ear, so I'm listening to the tech booth because, you know, they're running video, and so we'll know when our microphones are hot. And we brought the chairman of the board, Mickey, up, and Minnie, and all the rest of the gang. And we also have someone down at the start line who is in charge, be it John Hughes or some of his people, in letting us know when it's ready to go. And somehow, in my sleep-deprived brain, I thought I'd gotten the okay, and I started to throw it to Mickey, who started talking, and I was about 5 minutes early.
Ooh.
So I had people screaming at me, and we got out of it, and there was a big laugh. But yeah, that would probably be the biggest mistake that I ever made at any point in time. But again, as we always like to say, no children were harmed in the starting of this race. So they even forgave me for that. Even Mickey forgave me for that.
Oh,
you know, you're working with one of the all-time greats. So,
so Jennifer also wants to know, she says, I know that John is a big Washington Nationals fan, and I'm wondering, with all the projects he's involved in, if he gets an opportunity to come to games in D.C. She's from D.C.
I have not been to a Nationals game. The last time I was home during baseball season was for my 20th high school reunion in 2002, and they weren't there yet. So I haven't had an opportunity to get back during baseball season and see a game. I've only been able to watch them on television. So the answer is no, but I would really love to.
So, John, at the beginning of the show, I mentioned that that not only are you involved in the Disney entertainment world, but your wife is also involved in the entertainment world. And I'm sure a lot of listeners are saying, well, I wonder if I have ever seen John Pelkey's wife. So I'd like you to tell everyone what your wife does for Disney.
My wife is one of the citizens of Hollywood. If you make your way to Hollywood Studios, they are the improv actors out on the streets in 1940s costume that entertain you in any number of ways. They are as talented a group of people as you'll ever come across. And she's quite amazing. She's been there a long time. And so that is what she does. Along with some other entertainment, she's a Disney comedic actress of just top shelf. So she gets to do a lot of fun stuff as well.
And I believe her stage name is Paige Turner. And I know I have video of her back in 1990 as a farm girl in Pigtails, I think.
I cannot confirm nor deny that, but it could be true.
Could be true.
So may I ask how you two met? At Disney, or
yeah, actually at Universal, she came in to do the horror makeup show. I think in 1995, and I was still doing the show at that time. And we met then, and it was actually a couple of years later that we got together, and then we were married in 2001.
Very nice.
So we met on stage.
Well, John, on behalf of the Run Disney community, especially those who listen to the Mickey Miles podcast, the Mickey Milers who are in purple and yellow, who are waiting in the corrals. We want to thank you for entertaining us as we shiver and wait for our corrals to be called in and run off. And we just want to thank you for all the efforts that you've put forth. And I think Michelle wants to say something too.
I do. I actually want to say that we just found out that Mike and I are going to be volunteering this year at the finish line. So
nice.
I'm requesting that you be extra witty and pithy.
You know, I have as much fun playing with the crowd at the finish line as anything else. Those I praise the runners, and certainly you should. But those folks who come out at the finish line, and I always feel bad for them because they have to sit there for a long time. So we have a good time with them. So I try to be a little extra witty. And again, and, you know, when you've had 4 hours sleep in about 72 hours, I'm an acquired taste at times, but I do my best. I do my best to try to keep entertaining.
I think we'll be handing out medals. So.
Then I'll apologize in advance for having to hear me. And if I redo any of my jokes, it's just because I've seen most of the people across from me have now left, and it's a whole new group of people. So,
well, it's the marathon, so I'm sure we'll have time to hear every version of your joke.
Well, and also I'd like to say for the folks coming out for the Wine and Dine, last year that was as bad a weather as we could have hoped for. My fingers are crossed, just like yours, that we were a little bit luckier this year.
His name is John Pelkey, and he's one of the personalities for Run Disney. And his personality, his voice, his wit makes the Run Disney experience all that more enriching. So we want to thank John Pelkey. John, thank you for coming to the Mickey Mouse Podcast to share your stories and give us a chance to say thank you for all you've done.
Michelle, Mike, it's great to be here, and I can't wait to see you at the Wine and Dine and beyond. Thanks,
everyone. Yeah, we're going to ask our listeners to come up and say they heard you on the show.
Please, please. I look forward to seeing everybody.
Are you at the expo, too?
I will be at the expo.
Awesome.
We'll look for you there, too. Thank you.
So for John Pelkey and for Michelle Scribner-McLean, this is Mike Scopa saying we'll see you on the road.
The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
Thank you for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. We hope you enjoyed listening. If you would like to support the Mickey Miles Podcast, please go to mickeymiles.podbean.com and click the green Become a Patron button in the upper right-hand corner of the menu bar. We thank you for your support. Don't forget, our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/Mickey Miles Podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/Mickey Miles Pod. And don't forget, if you have any questions, you can send them to questions@MickeyMilesPodcast.com, and we'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gray saying thanks for listening and all your support, and until next time, we'll see you on the road.